Morning, church. Scripture reading be coming from the book of Psalms, chapter 75, verse 1. It's the book of Psalms, chapter 75, first verse. And it reads, "Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks. For that thy name is near by wondrous works declare." May God add a blessing to the hearers and the doers of his word.
Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 1. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decide to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Amen. Let me see. I want to say good morning, congregation. It's good for us to be here for sure, and we might offer our sacrifice of praise to the God of this heaven and earth, the God who gives us all things, whatsoever we ask. Whatsoever our heart desires, our God sees fit to it that we are supplied with those things readily. You know, at times in our lives, and should always be times in our lives when gratitude has a place in our lives. I want to read for you this morning, beginning in Psalm 107. I want to read verses 1 through 31. I want you to actually listen to what God has to say through the psalmist in Psalm 107. And we're going to speak about those things in a minute after that. Psalm 107 and verse number 1. The psalmist declares that we should give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those who are redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains, because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, from the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, for he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through the bars of iron. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were all at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper, the waves of the sea he were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds to mankind. You know, abundant are the verses in the Bible which refer to thankfulness and gratitude. It's just filled with it. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to the Father through him. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus to you word. Philippians 4:6, and in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving in your hearts, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, properly, emphasis should always be placed upon the Christian's life. It should be placed upon their work and their worship. And while we should excel in these areas of spiritual things in our lives, gratitude must not be slighted at all. For it is too an essential part of who God has called us to be. Gratitude and thanksgiving becomes a rich part of who God has called each and every one of us to be. And while we despise the ungrateful attitude which is so apparent in this world about us, we are debtors to God. And an overflow of praise, because we owe a great deal, we owe everything to God, an overflow of praise and thanksgiving should come from our lips on a daily basis to the God of heaven and earth. But we also owe much to our fellow man, especially to those that are Christians. How many of us, as Christians this morning, express our gratitude to others? How many want to express our gratitude to others? Has the absence of gratitude in your life had its effect upon you yet? Or has it affected others? Is gratitude gradually fading out of our lives? You know, our kids are small and cute. We always teach them to say please and thank you. And we grow up ourselves and it kind of just fades away from our lives. We hardly ever say please and thank you. Oh, it's so far away from our tongues. It's disgraceful. We are debtors to God. And will gratitude be a forgotten virtue in our future generations? Are we headed for a future generation of those that are ungrateful to God? Husbands, how long has it been since you expressed your gratitude to your wife? Wife, how long has it been since you expressed your gratitude towards your husband? Children to parents and parents to children, how long has it been since you expressed your gratitude to God? You know, there are a lot of passing phrases in this word that we use, and people often take it for granted, that phrase, thank you, Lord. They say it, and they don't really know what it means. They have no substance in those words. They just say it because it's something to be said at a particular time. Thank you, Lord, and they keep on going about their business. How often has it been since you expressed your gratitude to a true and living God for the life that's before you? How long has it been since you expressed your appreciation to the elders who serve well in the congregation for their work? How long has it been since you expressed your appreciation for faithful brethren and their untiring effort that goes too often unnoticed? You know, we come in the building and we sit down and we never think about the person who cleans up all that candy paper you put down there. Or vacuum the floors or wash the windows. We never think about the people who put the communion out. Or whatever it takes to get the job done, we never consider those things. How long has it been since you gave a word of encouragement or expression of appreciation to someone that's your brother or sister in Christ? How often has it been since you've encouraged someone for their faithfulness in Christ? You know, one thing that's true is a genuine word of thanks can make the day for one who might be despondent or discouraged. Just coming in and paying them gratitude goes a long way in the life of those that need it. But we live in a world of selfishness and greed, and that selfishness and greed have made this world we live in very cold and very dark, you see. But Christians who are the light of God, who have the fire of God just kindling in their souls, Christians can kindle the fire of gratitude. We can light the lamp of thanksgiving and we can warm that light again and again that their lives might prevail in the goodness of God and provide an opportunity to learn appreciation to those who have never known it. Some people just never have learned how to say thank you. Listen, a sincere thank you just, it costs so little, doesn't it? It takes so little time to say. It means so very much, and it goes a very, very long way. Thank you. Thank you. It doesn't matter who you're saying it to, but it's the intent of the heart and how you say it. Because some people say, you know what, they might have said it, but they don't mean it. And we become judges then. I'm glad God isn't like that. I'm glad God knows the intent of every man's heart. And when we say thank you to God and mean it, God knows that, and he smiles upon us. But then there's the flip side of things. See, Satan has come along and he's destroyed many a man by the adverse circumstances that drive that man's life to bitterness. He's destroyed many a man by bitterness of spirit and blasphemous words against the God of heaven and earth, who is a good God. You know, we got that cliche that says God is good and he's good all the time. Listen, time has nothing to do with God. He's an eternal God. He's always just good. Period. God is just good. And that's just it. But Satan has come and he's changed our hearts and our minds to where we don't even want to give God any gratitude because of adverse conditions in our lives. We think we can figure it out, and by the time we figure it out, we're dead, laying in the grave. Listen to our brother Paul as he addresses the church in Philippi in Philippians 4, 11 through 13. It's a familiar verse. He says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances that I'm in. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, let me let you listen to this in the amplified version of the scripture. Listen to what Paul says, amplified. Not that I speak from any personal need, for I have learned to be content and self-sufficient through Christ, satisfied to the point where I'm not disturbed or uneasy, regardless of my circumstances. I'm grateful. I know how to get along and live humbly in difficult times, and I also know how to enjoy abundance and live in prosperity. I am grateful. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing life, whether well-fed or going hungry, whether having an abundance or being in need. I am, amen, grateful. I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am grateful for Christ. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything. I'm ready and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. I am grateful to God. I wonder sometimes, am I truly grateful? Me, am I truly grateful for all the things that God has done for me? I'm not talking about you. I'm right here. Because sometimes we just don't get to the point to where we just say, thank you, Lord, and really mean that. And have that confident peace, that inner strength that God gives us to live a life that he set before us. A life that we don't have to even figure out. Just live in Christ. Just live. If we are honest and humble in our hearts, what changes have you made in your life because of the goodness of God? Think about that for a second. Because of God's goodness, what changes have you made? Romans 2:4. Or despiseth thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. It should lead us to repentance. God's goodness should lead us to repentance. But the trouble with so many today is that instead of being humbled with repentance, we become callous in our heart and drunk on materialism. We want it. Gotta have it. And when we do that, we fail to count the blessings that we already have. The goodness of God should cause us also to be generous with our time. But with regard to time and duties, some seem to always be saying, I don't have time to study. I don't have time to visit. I don't have time to teach other people. I don't have time to attend all the services of the church with the saints. I don't have time for that. I don't have time to encourage all these Christians. I don't have time even to, I'm on the run all the time. I don't even have time to pray. But the answer is yes. We do have the time. Everyone's day is made up of 24 hours. Nobody gets any more, any less. Every day is the same for everybody when it comes to time. But some of us have our times, it's just ill-arranged. It's not in any order at all. And especially as far as the work of the Lord is concerned, listen, we all have the same amount of time. I'm going to tell you what the trouble with it is. The trouble is we're not grateful enough to give it to Christ. God has granted us with all of the same things. He doesn't show favoritism. But we don't have time to sit down and meditate on God and just say thank you and mean that from the heart. Thank you, God. What a big difference that can make in our lives. How much can we grow if we realize that gratitude brings us to the point in our lives where we actually see who God is and we are grateful? But just like our wives, we take for granted, and our husbands and our children, we take God for granted as well, and we never get to the point of saying thank you. Oh, she knows I appreciate her. That's all we say. Oh, he knows I appreciate him. And never do anything else to solidify that. Because we cavalier in our attitude when it comes to gratefulness, to saying just thank you. Trouble is, we're not grateful enough to give our lives to Christ. We're selfish and self-centered. We have more time for television, more time for fishing and golfing and the gym and secular reading. We have more time for movies and ball games. We have more time for everything except devoting that time to God. We don't have enough time and not enough words to display our gratitude to God. But here's what our gratitude ought to also do for us. Our gratitude should also cause us to be generous with our money. Listen to what I'm saying. With our money. We know nothing doesn't belong to us, but I'm going to give it to you. It's your money. And if you're grateful enough to God, you ought to be generous enough with your money. However, when it comes to the matter of giving, can it be said that we are grateful to the Lord when we spend so much on our own selfish desires? I've said it before, let me say it again. $20 means a whole lot more at the grocery store than it means in the church. Now, if I take $20 at the grocery store, I can see what I'm getting. But if I take $20 to the church, am I leaving empty-handed? You might be leaving empty-handed, but you're not leaving empty-hearted. Because you're giving from the heart and God sees the intent of that. It's a big difference in $20. Amen? You're spending it at the store, but you're investing it in the church. It's different. There are too many people who are spending their lives out there in the world and not investing their lives in Christ. You're spending a life that's ungrateful to God because you don't recognize the wonderful gift that God has given us. This life. And we take each other for granted so much. We get into all these little trivial fusses about everything and nothing. The Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver, and that is a blanket statement. Whatever it is that you give, God loves a cheerful giver. But no man can be a cheerful giver unless he has first acknowledged the great gifts that God has given to him. You've got to acknowledge that first. And acknowledging it means say, thank you, Lord, just for taking in the air that you can't control. You're breathing it. What man could have ever thought that God's going to make a tree and from those trees are going to come oxygen and that oxygen is going to infuse our lives to breathe in God? The trouble with so many of us is that we never take the time to fully reflect on how much we have received from God, and that is everything. Everything. I'm going to reflect on it because it's all our doing. I'm a hardworking man. I've done it all myself. I'm a self-made. Boy, that's a dangerous statement right there. Amen? I'm a self-made man. Listen, when we take our eyes off ourselves and contemplate the goodness that comes from God, our gratefulness for these blessings are going to be reflected in the way we live and especially in the way that we give, especially one to another. Good morning is a wonderful thing to say to somebody, isn't it? Let them not answer you back, though. Oh, we go off on a tangent, and they might be in a crisis, and we never recognize that they're in a crisis. But we're going to run them down, and we're going to beat them to death. You didn't say good morning to me. Yeah, but I told you I love you. You know, all too often we find ourselves in this situation. When others perform deeds of kindness on our behalf, our attitude is that we expected that from them all along. In other words, you owe me this. Therefore, it's not necessary for me to be grateful because you owe it to me. There are too many people that are counting out there. Counting. You did this twice, so I got to do it twice. Or you did it three times. Counting. How much have God done for us that there are innumerable blessings that we just can't seem to count? Are we going to play tit for tat with God? Because we play tit for tat with each other when it comes to our lives? Our duties and our deeds as responsible men and women? Our duties and our deeds as responsible Christians? Growing and maturing in Christ, we are counting for nothing. And when we count, you can count on nothing. Because unless your heart is right with God, whatever you ask for, you will get absolutely. And you can count on that. I don't know how many people have been grateful for nothing. But it counts for something. Amen? It counts for something. Just be grateful. We get that feeling of entitlement in our lives. We entitled it. And that's a sinful attitude. Sinful attitude. And this kind of attitude is reflected if we fail to express our sincere thanks for the kindness that others have shown to us. Just tell them thank you. If you can't do that, if this disposition describes you, it's to your shame. It's really to your shame. Again, some people just don't know how to say thank you, right? Go with me to Luke chapter 17, 15 through 19. Some people don't know how to say thank you. It seems like the lack of gratitude has always been a problem in this life. Jesus healed 10 lepers. And only one man, a Samaritan, was grateful enough to return and thank Jesus for his deliverance, for his cleansing. The record says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face and his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were not there 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God except the stranger. And he said unto them, arise, go thy way, thy faith had made thee whole. Are we the 9? Where are the 9? Are we that 9? Only 10% of those who received the blessings showed gratitude. 1 out of 10. Was not all of those 10 ready to receive those blessings? Did not all 10 ask to be healed? Did not all 10 cry for mercy? Did not all 10 stand in the face of Jesus, knowing full well that they were on the brink of death? Did not all 10 stand there and ask for life? And 9 were not concerned about giving him praise and thanksgiving for his deliverance. They weren't concerned about it. Didn't have any gratitude in their hearts or on their tongues. Thank you, Lord, so much for that. So much for that. I was at death's door, and I feel a whole lot better now, Lord. I knew I asked you to heal me, but now that I'm healed, I'm running headlong back into the world. a failure in thanksgiving for the blessings enjoyed in this life, you know what it does? It gives evidence to us that we are alienated from God. Alienated. When you don't have gratitude for your parents, for all the things that they've done for you in your life, you're alienated from your parents. Alienated. And I know parents don't always get it right. Amen. I'm not going to give them a pass on that. But we should have enough respect to say thank you for the things that they have done, because we've benefited from them throughout our whole entire lives, and it will never be forgotten. And my mother's 83 years old right now, 83. And I can't tell you how many things in my life, I can't even count them, how many things I'm grateful for. One thing I'm not grateful for, though, is looking like a welt. And she spanked me like nobody's business. I tried to get out of the way, but sometimes I just couldn't. I'm not grateful for that. You hear me? But I'm not like one of the nine, or am I? Am I really the nine? Got to ask yourself that question. Are you one of the nine? Are we alienated from God because of our failure to give thanks to him for the things that he's done for our lives? Here's what Romans chapter 1, verse 21 says. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. On the other hand, the Christian, realizing what God has done for him in this world, we will continue to lift our hearts in praise and thanksgiving to God. Paul said to the church in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God, listen, in Christ Jesus concerning you. I don't know about you, but in this life, I know that I have innumerable blessings for which I am grateful for. And the Bible tells us that all these blessings come from the God of heaven, James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift comes from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. What James is calling us to remember is that God is a good God. No matter how much you say it or repeat the adage, it doesn't change the fact that he is a good God and will remain a good God, because his nature will not allow him to be anything else. Nothing else. And since he's consistent in his nature, we should not allow our adversities in his life to drive us away from God. Rather, we should be grateful for the strength he supplies in our time of need. And whether you've looked around, whether you've noticed it or not, we always are in need, because we can't do it ourselves. Nobody can rescue themselves from sin, from Satan, from death. You can't rescue yourself from that. As we look around, church, as we look inside of ourselves, we ought to be able to see what God has done. Surely we ought to be just amazed at even the magnificent works that he's done just with us and for us in this life. And not only that, we ought to be just overwhelmed and filled with awe and reverence as we look at our lives right now and how God has delivered us thus far. He's delivered all of us thus far. But some of us are the nine. Some of us are not grateful at all. Some of us don't know how to say thank you at all. We go about our lives even after God has rescued us. It reminds me of Exodus chapter 14. The Bible says the Egyptians had just came out of Egypt. The cloud was leading them by day. And they get to the Red Sea. They turn around and see a big, thick cloud of smoke coming up on them. And it's the Egyptians coming. And between them and the Egyptians is nothing but death. They're coming to kill them because they got them trapped by the Red Sea. But God comes to their rescue again, right? They're crying in distress. Well, Moses, weren't there enough graves in Egypt? You got to bring us out in this desert to bury us? What are you doing? God says, this is what I'm going to do for you, Moses. I want you to calm these people down and raise your staff up to the Red Sea. I'm going to part these waters so that my children can walk across on dry land. And I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart so that he's going to chase you into the sea. And I'm going to take my waters and bring them back onto Pharaoh and all his chariots and his horses and all his captains, and they're going to die right there because I'm going to deliver my people. And the Bible says, over in Exodus chapter 14, verse number 30, that day the Lord saved Israel out of the hand of the Egyptians. And listen, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. They looked back after they were delivered and saw sin had died by the seashore. Their sins were washed away by the Red Sea. We are not grateful enough to look back and see that God has saved us from death. And our sins are washed away, and they're dead on the seashore. And we get to the other side of Christianity, and what do? We get to the desert, and we become Mara. Oh, Lord, we don't have no water. We're grateful for you saving our lives, but now we don't have nothing to drink. This water too bitter. What? Why didn't you drink that water from the Red Sea? It was too much for them to drink. They would have died. That's why. Sometimes, look, if all you have is bitter water, you drink the water. Amen? Drink it. God is going to change it for you. He's going to deliver you. The story goes on to say that he had a whole grove of trees. And those trees sweetened that water so that God's people can drink the water that came from God, that sweet water. After being delivered from their sins and death, we're still ungrateful to God. This water too bitter. Well, we got some. What? Let me tell y'all something. I still don't like sauerkraut, and I will fight my mother today if she tried to make me eat it. Because she said sometimes it's all we got, and you're going to eat every bit of it. We had food, right? I didn't like it. It was bitter. But I had to eat it, and look where I'm at today. Full of sauerkraut. I'll fight it today, though. I don't eat it no more. And we do the same thing. We will fight God. Because we fail to look at the things that we have or what God has turned us into today, what he has made out of us, what he's called us to be. We fail to be grateful for those things. We don't know how to say thank you, and some of us don't want to say thank you. G.K. Chesterton was an English writer, and this is what he said. When it comes to life, the critical thing is whether you take things for granted or take them with gratitude. You see, every time we hit a rough patch in our life and find ourselves overwhelmed by disappointment or despair, we ought to just take a moment and just thank God. Every time we find ourselves in a situation where our minds just can't seem to just comprehend the things that are going on, we ought to take time just to say, thank you, God. If we develop a habit of thanking God like most things, we're going to find that habit requires patience and a constant effort. But once you get there to the point of where you can actually say thank you and mean it from your heart, our lives will become eternally better. You better believe that. Because our God still delivers us. Still delivers us. We might find ourselves in a ditch right now where our life just don't seem to be going right. Every time we turn around, we got to fight somebody. It's just Satan. That's all it is. He doesn't want you to be grateful to God. But we ought to thank God. Let us all thank God for every wonderful gift of his love. Let us thank God for others who have done things for us in our lives to make them better and are doing for us even right now. Let us thank God for the time that we can set aside to meditate, be still, and know that he is God. I wonder sometimes if we're grateful for the gift that God has given to us in and as Jesus Christ, God's Son, and our Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, you don't have to die, but you're going to have everlasting life. Here's an opportunity right now to be grateful to God and not sit on your thumbs and think that you can save your own soul. You can't do it. It'll never happen. And if you felt that you can do it, then why are you here? You're here because you know that only God can save your life. So here's your opportunity to be grateful for it. Get up out of your seat and respond to the gospel of salvation that will save your soul, will deliver you from death. In John 6:45, it says, it's written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and learned of the Father comes unto me. You come with gratitude. We got to believe that Jesus Christ, John 8:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, unless you believe that I am he, you're going to die in your sins because you're ungrateful that I'm the Christ. We got to repent of our sins. Too many of us want to compare ourselves to ourselves. Luke 13:3-5, they were doing that with the people in Siloam. But Jesus said to them, unless you repent, you're going to die just like those people in Siloam because of sin. Because of your ungratefulness to recognize that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. We got to confess Christ. Ah, too many times we find ourselves in situations that are small and trivial. We find ourselves spewing out words that really are not, they're not in line with our lives as Christians. We find ourselves doing things that are not in line with our lives as Christians. Our behavior changes as well. Because we are ingrates to God. That's what it is. Sam Cooke said, I know a change gonna come, huh? But what he hadn't known before he sung that song, the change was already here in and as Jesus Christ, God's Son. We just need to accept that and get away from that life that we are living now and embrace the God of heaven and earth with all gratitude. We got to confess Christ. Matthew 10 says, unless you confess before men on heaven, before men on earth, I will not confess you for my Father which is in heaven. Talk about Christ. Talk about him and live him. We got to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. Baptism, it saves us, saves our very lives, just like the Israelites were running from the Egyptians. They were saved, baptized into Moses in the Red Sea, the Bible says. We've got to be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. Galatians 3:26-27 says, for many of you as have been baptized into Christ, listen to me. If you've never been baptized into Christ, it's no hope for you. Listen to what he says. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That means if you're not baptized into Christ, you never put on Christ, regardless of what somebody else have told you. The gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says, unless you're baptized into Christ, you will not put on Christ. Gospel tells us that baptism washes our sins away. It takes away the old man and gives us a new man in Christ. Are you going to be grateful today for what God has done in and as Jesus Christ? You see, God took his own medicine and became who you are. He looked just like me so that he can come and show me how to live this life that I might get to eternity with him. And if we're not grateful for that, we'll never be grateful for anything. We're going to be ingrates, living our lives in the sorrow of hell. So let's make up our mind. You want to live a life in eternity with God? Then let's show gratitude as we stand and sing God's invitation song. Dearly soul.